that's what I meant. It's not in the Larouche quadrant. So the ground is the unconscious. So then the proprioceptive is in the McLuhan quadrant. People start to include the kinetic and the osmic, and the proprioceptive with inner tripping.
Mm-hmm.
But the figure, visual, acoustic, kinetic, and osmic, that's the idea that the smell, that the hippie smelled. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the acoustic, kinetic, osmic, and proprioceptive, and visual. In the Thompson quadrant, it's retrieving the written yogic wisdom. They don't deal with the tactile wisdom of McLuhan. All right? They deal with the visual proprioceptive wisdom. So McLuhan is tactile, proprioceptive is ground. Thompson is visual proprioceptive. Now what happens in the Croker quadrant is you get them all as figure. Acoustic, kinetic, osmic, proprioceptive, and visual. Not the tactile. But you get pretty well the five senses there intermingling by 1980. Because you've gone through the population becoming aware of the acoustic, kinetic, osmic, and then the proprioceptive. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that makes people aware of that is the Android meme, which is all five squared or simulated, plus the tactile. So you have six in the ground of Croker, visual, acoustic, kinetic, osmic, proprioceptive, and tactile squared. But people don't know the Android meme is tactile squared. So it remains ground, invisible, or unperceived, though felt.
Mm-hmm.
So the another aspect of these ratios is that in the Larouche quadrant, everybody thinks they're being visual, acoustic, and kinetic, and osmic in the, being visual and kinetic in the radio era, and they're only intuiting and feeling and acting on the osmic acoustic. That would be the appeal of jazz, the charisma of jazz.
Hmm.
To the industrial mentality. So then the proprioceptive and tactile in the McLuhan phase is the effect of television, making people more aware of the visual, acoustic, kinetic, and osmic. And that would be people through rock and roll, through sports, through aerobics, all that stuff. The re-awareness of the body is what comes in the 60s on the mass level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's due to the television. And then that gets merged and the Android meme becomes holopathic television / satellite. So then the Thompson phase, acoustic, kinetic, osmic, they are feeling the proprioceptive but with a visual take because you flipped out of the television into the computer effect. So the computer retrieved the New Age interest in yoga and I Ching. And McLuhan even spelled that out. He saw that coming.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, McLuhan said that we'd flip into literate visual values again in the 70s, and that was evoked by the computer. So then we talked about last week in my chart, it's the whole process, all four quadraphenic rants are in ratios through the two charts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Formerly chart as figure to the tiny Choder's ground. I don't know.
And you mentioned that as being the tetrad broken into two pieces.
Yes.
But the tetrad is enhance, retrieve, obsolesce, and flip, right?
Yeah.
How does that fit? How does, if the figure in the Dobbs area, 1960 to 1990, is holopathic backspins and retrievals, how does holopathic and backspin relate to what part of the tetrad?
That's two parts of the tetrad. Backspin is the obsolescence, and retrieval is the third part.
Oh, and holopathic. Oh, okay. I see how to read that now. Holopathic backspins and retrievals.
Yeah.
And then the bottom, the cliche probes flipping. Okay, flipping is obvious, but what does cliche probes relate to?
The four previous phases. Like McLuhan is LaRouche's radio within the Android Meme, an extension. It's not radio, but it's a replay of the radio sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
All that goes on in the LaRouche quadrant is, in, across the board there, is the afterimage of a cliche probe.
Oh, no.
Afterimage of an archetype, so it becomes a cliche probe.
A probe is something that you use to poke at something else in order to get it to react so you can kind of see what it's doing.
But when everything's been done, what you probe with is a replay, is a cliche action.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, the television era had...
Well, what is the... a little befuddled of the nature of this probe idea.
Yeah,
you know, cliche is pretty obvious. I know what a cliche is.
No, but
what makes it a probe?
Probing is offering something new, pushing the envelope. But
oh.
You can't, under Android Meme conditions, do anything new.
Right.
So no matter what you present as new, it's really just a cliche. Look into it. But the cliche becomes a probe and seems to create the new because the archetypal is frozen in the Android Meme. So the formula chart shows the frozen archetypes, and the tiny note shows the spinning subatomic Orphic Baroque spirals of cliche probes. McLuhan was a cliche probe. LaRouche is a cliche probe. The newspaper is a cliche probe.
Mm.
Electric media are cliche probes.
Right.
All within the convergence. The printed book since the 60s is a cliche probe. There are people who read books. They buy them.
Mm-hmm.
And the book doesn't have any effect like the Android Meme does. In the economy and everything, but people have the cobweb of Rye or the fascination as a massage, as a form of nostalgia almost.
Right.
For the effect. But it can't be limited nostalgia because it's actually, you believe it in the moment you're in it. So you read a book and then you throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a movie, throw it away. Disposable society.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but then the Android Meme added the retrieval aspect. Nothing is forgotten. So a lot of creativity today is based on finding something obscure that was forgotten but is available now in the Android Meme Archive and do a YouTube on it.
Mm-hmm.
So the breaking up of the tetrad.
And so and the way this maps to the tetrad is the backspin is the enhanced part, the retrieval is the retrieval part, the cliche probe is the obsolescence.
No, backspin... going back, you go up to the top and you see Rye Eloy Tulofty and Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Under Rye's front spin, that is extension or cliche probe. Eloy is the obsolesce. Back spin. It spins back out of the mm-hmm. awareness of the present or out of the attention of the present.
Mm-hmm.
Then something else that was backspin a long time ago gets retrieved. And then the front spin splits, it flips into its opposite, which is chiasmus.
Mm-hmm.
Dobbs is a melody. A melody is a linear road, a linear organization of sound. That's what this chart is. It's retrieving melody.
Yeah.
Do, re, fa, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la.
Right. So backspin is down here would be obsolescence. Then you have retrievals. And what is the cliche probe map to?
That's the front spin.
Well, the front
spin. That's the extension.
Okay.
But the extensions are finished after the satellite, and the Android Meme replays human extensions.
Mm-hmm.
And they get tinier and tinier and less substance, but they're still extensions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, iPhone. When iPhone came out a year or two ago, that was a new cliche probe, and then that model was obsolesced within 6 months by a later model of iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So the cliche probes don't last long. They're subsumed by a new cliche probe.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, under Baroque spirals, you see all four plus stages of apprehension. So all four Baroque spirals, previous parts of the chart, previous quadrants, plus the stages of apprehension are understanding the melody that the pentatic view gives you of the Orphic Baroque spirals of the tetrad vectors or tetrad managers. And McLuhan mimed the tetrad management or tetradic vector of television. He wrote like television, so to speak.
Mm. Right.
Thompson writes like the computer. Coker writes like the shrinking satellite.
Mm-hmm.
At least the view that the medium gives you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're writing, so they're offering books, which is the eye.
The reason why in Dobbs we have all four, and then we can have the stages of apprehension, is because we've pulled the fish out of the water.
Yeah.
So therefore, we can then have the apprehension of what
the understanding.
The understanding.
The you can go past the probings of the first four quadrants.
Mm-hmm.
So all four include their contributions plus.
So we've pulled the fish out of the water. This is why we're retrieving the anthropomorphic physical.
We're pulling the fish out of the water. We're killing it, and that means we're retrieving the anthropomorphic.
No,
physical?
We're pulling. We're sort of pulling the. We're separating the anthropomorphic physical out from the waters of the previous technological environment, so that it can look back and see them.
Yes, the thing that was extended, the first nature thing, which is the anthropomorphic physical, was extended. As the extensions now come to the endpoint and shrink and disappear, we become aware of what was extended from our bodies.
Right, because they're becoming smaller than us.
Yeah.
At least
now
we
have to realize that the image we have of our bodies is culturally determined.
Right.
That's why the anthropomorphic physical today, what was extended, the image of what we extended, no, okay, the image of what we extended from, the body, is conditioned by cultures. And so we bring in the idea of the mystery body because we don't know fully what was extended because we don't fully know what it is yet. So don't get trapped in your image of the AP or the anthropomorphic physical you think you are. A lot of people think they're getting back to nature, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a chemical body image of the AP, but it's not that.
Right.
And I want to mention that over under the Eloy column, second on the left, is quadrophenia plus. See? Note the plus factor.
Right.
Now, I need to get the other phone. The battery's going down on this, so carry on, but I'm just going to switch over in a second.
Okay.
Get the other phone. Plus factor. So, this idea that the anthropomorphic physical is what we're becoming aware of, that is really what the culture wars are and the fundamentalisms are. They are battles over what we think we finally got access to, the thing that was extended. And we're arguing over what the basic value of human scale is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and above quadrophenia plus, a couple of items above that, you have quadrophenia slash ecstasy. So the quadrophenia represents the previous four categories,
yeah,
and it's when our image, I guess, gets splintered into four parts, and we get the paranoia, schizophrenia, hysteria, and panic, all of which are negative emotional reactions, and then those are balanced off by this ecstasy, and the that when all four of them are seen to be we've sort of subsumed or transcended all four. It's kind of like the quadrophenia slash ecstasy is sort of represented in the number 14, the one and the four.
Yeah, and let me just switch my phone to answer that. Just
okay, hold on. I'm going to pause while you switch. So tell me when you let me know when you're back on.
Okay, so we were.
Yeah, the one and the four kind of represents the quadrophenia and the ecstasy.
Quadrophenia plus, yes.
Or the quadrophenia slash ecstasy.
The 2-2 up in the McClune quadrant, the
mm-hmm.
22, can refer to the two charts, you know.
Mm.
But anyways, the 2-2 is representing tactility. When we go past tactility into the Dobbs quadrant, another reason why the charts are shown and not the sensory ratios. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The previous quadrants have the ratios of the senses, and if we move past both the extension of the senses and the senses, we're into a new mystery zone or strange zone. So the senses are obsolesced by the charts, which could be mental states, like it says, the fifth mentality. under corporation state. The fifth mentality is the understanding. You are understanding what has happened.
Right.
So the 22 represents the tactile, the analogical ratios. But yes, the 14 represents, one, the integration when Rai returns the plane of essence, and the integration externalized in second nature by the android meme and the cloning of ESP globally. Then the four is everybody pretending to be an individual for a while and be creative and have voluntary ESP and express one of the four quadrants or all four.
Mm-hmm.
So the four is a simulation of the Rai action of separateness. So the four separates out from the cloned ESP integration of the android meme, and the android meme allows you to think that you're not totally in the hive mind and you can create your own space, which has happened more and more over the phenomenon of Web 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
And so the four is the orbiting of one or all four of the previous memes or previous quadrants.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do something today, you're either in one of the quadrants or in two of them or three of them or all four.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're a cliche probe. To be an individual today is a cliche probe. The Android meme is making us seem like we could be like the original Rai. That's why we're the replay of Rai or the cobwebs of Rai.
Hmm.
We're not really the constituent ground when Rai was original separateness and created
right.
this dimension and conditioned our situation.
So when you're watching CNN, it's 24 hours of the host interviewing some guest who's probing some political fact or some sociological fact, or it's like Larry King Live 24/7, and so everybody is just everyone is becoming a temporary cliche probe while they do analysis of where they
of the oneness. Yeah, but they pretend that there's something to analyze.
Right.
It's a fragmented position.
And that's what's keeping the economy going. If there was nothing to analyze, nobody would be getting on TV and saying anything, and nobody would have anything to do.
Right. The analysis is the economy.
Yeah.
And that's thought. We create new temporary thought, living at the speed of thought, to counter the implosion of nothing or integration and ecstasy we're in.
Mm-hmm.
So if we became aware of that, we wouldn't respond to the information environment, but we would try to function as robots or just living in the present, and that wouldn't work.
But I mean, I'm sort of glad.
You hear that, Scott? It wouldn't work until you had cold fusion.
Right. So I'm glad that we got all these temporary cliche probe talking heads on CNN pretending that there's something to analyze and then analyzing it, because they're keeping the circulation of food, goods, and services and information going.
Right, and it's been that way for 30 or 40 years, and the problem was that more and more parts of the chemical bodies were getting more and more hungry because nobody was sending any cornflakes. All they were sending was pattern recognition.
Mm-hmm.
That's the disservice of the information society, the information highway, the android meme, post-industrial society, blah, 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 all those categories. And we've come to the end point of that.
Yeah.
Last fall. Now we're looking for a pattern that will get people having trust in the economy and reinvesting in it or loaning money. So it's called a stimulus package. Right now they're arguing over today whether that pattern, represented by Obama as the figurehead for it, is the way to get global conversation going again.
Right. The thing I think is funny is that the they call it the TARP, What's when I think of a tarp, I think of a windstorm, and somebody's throwing up a piece of cloth as a way of trying to protect something that the windstorms is going to blow away anyway.
Yeah, it's like a bad tent, a weak tent.
Yeah.
Remember that political phrase? We're a big tent. Our party's a big tent. We include everybody. Well, the tent got rented, torn apart. Now it's just a tarp, and we're trying to rebuild with a cliche probe, rebuild the tent. But all we can call it is a tarp.
Yeah.
It's just a cobweb of the cobweb of the cobweb of Rai, or the afterimage of the afterimage of the afterimage of Rai.
Mm-hmm.
That's how tenuous it is now.
Mm-hmm.
The horny device is no longer working.
What's the horny? How are you referring to the horny device in this context?
Well, that is on the chart in my quadrant, right?
Yeah.
And it follows from the category KISS, fellatio cunnilingus, then unisex in the Thompson quadrant, joined at the hip in Coker quadrant, and then becomes a horny device. The horny device is as McLuhan said in 69, sex was dead. But Vietnam was not. That's why the Smothers Brothers got in trouble. They made jokes about Vietnam, but Vietnam was a figure for the information society, for the Android meme. So the chemical body sex is dead, but the real thing that charges people is the imagery of communication, which is the Android meme, and the talking about everything. That is the horny device. The Android meme is the horny device, and it shrunk and shrunk and shrunk until porn became one of the biggest industries in the world.
Right.
Porn being a subset of the Android meme, or the literal horny device for the chemical body. But there were four bodies, and most people are getting horny over the chip body and the TV body.
Mm-hmm.
So the horny device is a way of talking about the ramifications of the convergence of all the quadrants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Zappa used in a number of his songs, including Joe's Garage and other songs, the imagery of sexual technology / Android devices.
Yeah. So you have over on the left column, Quarktoon Cube.
Well, I just want to finish up on Quadrophenia / Ecstasy.
I mentioned Quarktoon Cube just that's what Zappa wrote, cartoon music. But it became Quarktoon. Go ahead, what were you going to say?
I'm wondering if that should be Quadrophenia / Euphoria, because I'm not sure that people are experiencing real ecstasy. I think of ecstasy as something being sort of more objectively true. It seems to me people are in a kind of a euphoria.
Well, they're interchangeable. The point is that ecstasy is the condition the brain is in inside the Android meme's horny device. People are stoned. It's a stoned meaning also.
Mm-hmm.
You can be quite bliss-filled when you're stoned.
Right. Or you can also be euphoric, which is kind of a manic ecstasy.
Yeah. So, you know, if you want to put euphoria in there, but I wanted to make it ecstasy because that's an extreme state. And
I imagine you experience ecstasy, but you're pretty clear.
No, that's the chemical astral body you're talking about, the first nature part of myself. But I'm talking about technological ecstasy.
Mm.
I mean, it does...
Oh, yeah, right. The new iPhone is like the Android memes is ecstatic because of the new iPhone or something.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the brain. When people watch TV, they're, dopamine and serotonin are stimulated.
I guess. I don't know. I don't see people watching TV as being in a state of ecstasy. I see them as being in a sort of a trance.
Well, see, if you project a chemical body and its gestures of ecstasy in there, no, they don't look like they're having chemical body gestures of ecstasy. But their brain is.
Mm.
And that's why they keep watching. So you don't look at their chemical body for signs of it other than their fact that they're just frozen by the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And look at that rather than look at something else.
Right.
So it's the physiological effect on the brain that I see is referring to also.
Mm. Well, we'll finish commenting on the Quarktoon cubed idea. That term, we've discussed it many times, and it's still ambiguous to me. I know what a quark is, and I know what a cartoon is, and I also, it implies tune as in music, or Looney Tune, or
yeah.
Quark Tune, and now it's cubed.
Yes, it's cubed to point out.
Well, what is it to be? Redefine the quark tune? It's a particle or something, right?
We don't even know what it is, but the each quadrant is a subatomic particle. The one's hadron, then the meson, then the baryon, and the diquark.
Mm-hmm.
So the quark tune cube is to show. It's another way of pointing out that the orbital spirals of the four quadrants are included in this Dobbs quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way of saying all the four previous subatomic categories are in the Dobbs quadrant, because quark tune is up there.
You have it goes from ant to rhizome to bee to wavicle to quark tune cubed.
Yes, because ant, rhizome, bee are sort of first nature images.
Mm-hmm.
And then wavicle is the beginning of technology starting to confuse the issue. So something is it's not an ant or a bee, it's both. It's a particle and a wave.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts to get blurred. And then quark tune is referring to technological cartoons, how they have become subatomic, because 24/7, right now, all these talking heads and all kinds of information is going on out there, and you're not taking it in. It's like subatomic particles floating through the ethers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Through the airwaves. And they're, in the end, they're reduced to cartoon status, because nobody really has a handle on the serious way of projecting what's happening. So everybody's a laughingstock and can be made fun of, and other media do make fun of all the talking heads and all the other media that comment on the previous media. So, but it's all subatomic and transient. So the quark tune is, I'm trying to show that it, you see, if you look in the LaRouche quadrant, you see quark tune up there in the middle column.
Mm-hmm.
Quark tune opposite automobile.
Mm-hmm.
Since it is the Android meme, the rat pack that ran around in the cars of L.A. and Las Vegas, you know, John Kennedy was part of the Rat Pack, Sinatra and those guys. They didn't know that they were cartoon effects, really.
Hmm.
They would all be reduced to cartoons by the information overload of the 90s. So we're showing that the quartoon became cubed. Maybe I could have said quadrupled, but I wanted to say cubed to indicate that the Dobbs quadrant is several meta levels beyond the LaRouche quadrant, because it includes all the four phases of quarkiness from the LaRouche up through the Croker.
Well, over on the right in the Dobbs quadrant, you have rap slash rant.
Yeah.
Last night, Queen Latifah at the Grammys introduced four superstar rappers, all who came out at the same time to sing together, and she called them the Rap Pack.
Yeah. So that's it. See, there's a cliche probe. She has to to make a joke, you have to refer to previous archetypes in media folklore.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to play off that. That's the global language. So she had to say Rat Pack, because everybody, well, they knew, most people wouldn't know, that it's a replay of the cliche of the Rat Pack.
Right. But she was very careful to set it up. She mentioned Dean Martin, and
uh-huh.
then they showed Dean Martin, and then she talked about the Rat Pack. And then when she brings out the four rappers, she calls them the Rat Pack so that everybody would know what she was referring to.
Okay, and that was all within a couple minutes or later in the show?
Oh, within a couple minutes.
Okay, so they gave the context. So now, who did Amy Winehouse have anything happening?
I didn't watch enough to know, but from what I saw of the post-Grammy wrap-up on the news, she wasn't mentioned, so I don't think she was part of it.
Okay, who was the surprise winner this year, do you know?
I don't remember. Oh, you know who? It was a big surprise. You know who won, like, Album of the Year? Robert Plant... did he teamed up with a bluegrass singer, a woman, a country western bluegrass singer, and the two of them produced a new album, a collaboration, and it won Album of the Year.
Well, there you go. It's a cliche probe. Nobody is obsolete. Nothing is old under the sun. Nothing is new under the sun.
Yeah.
Everything gets recycled, so you never know. There's usually, as McLuhan said in the Global Theater, expect the unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many mutations going on, like on the quark level, that you never know. It's such rapid now, at the speed of thought, such rapidity that you don't know what the collective effect of it's going to be, and it's usually a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Slumlord Millionaire. Or what is it? Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah.
So, therefore, the new becomes old because it becomes old hat that you you get tired of expecting the unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And the therefore, you run back to the old. And the old becomes new.
I just thought of another pun on quark tune, because you tune a radio or you tune a TV. So but now you're tuning in at the quark level, cubed.
Yeah, you're tuning in with the charts.
Yeah.
You're getting tuned through Dobbs knowledge.
Right. So, just for a point of clarification, let's look at the LaRouche quadrant over on the right where you have 1840 to 1900. Is 1947 to 1957 a replay of 1840 to 1900, or is the year 1960 a replay of 1840 to 1900?
1960 is the crystallizing. Remember, the clothing crystals at the bottom, the spinning, the Orphic Baroque spirals, the spinning or spiraling clothing crystals, each one of them tuning a whole world, they are crystallized as crystals. And so the replay of 1840 to 1900 in 47 to 57 crystallizes in 1960.
Mm. Okay.
And it kind of refers to, even though it's the era of the telegraph, it's basically 19th century mechanical technology on the most broad cliche level. It's before the software world comes in with radio.
Mm-hmm.
So the hardware world begins the Android meme. It's replayed by the Android meme at the beginning of the Android meme in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
And the hardware world is 47 to 57. That's when people are rebuilding the global hardware economy after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
The Marshall Plan and all kinds of things. That is going to get warped by the effect of television, computers, and satellites, the sneaking up software environment.
Mm-hmm.
That happens by 1965 when your college kids are taking acid.
Right. And that's a replay of 1900, 1918, which is automobile and radios coming in.
Yeah, and yes, the beginning of the software world.
Mm-hmm. 1918.
Movies and telephones. And
yeah.
It's also when, isn't Tesla operating around that time?
Yeah.
And you have Philo Farnsworth is starting to think of an electronic television as opposed to a mechanical television.
Yeah.
Mechanical TV shows up in 1924, 25.
Marconi's coming up with the wireless.
Yeah. And J. Logie Baird invents the mechanical TV and presents that in Britain.
What year was that?
1924, 25.
Wow. The mechanical TV. What was that?
That's the one Joyce uses to model his TV description on page 349 of Finnegan's Wake.
Did it receive radio frequencies like a radio, only it produced images like a TV?
I don't know how it worked. I mean, they basically created an image.
Hmm.
I don't know how it linked in with the wireless, but I guess it did contain it because Baird showed that he produced an image.
A moving image or a picture?
He's static. I can't remember. It's a picture of a dollar bill, maybe.
Hmm.
Anyways,
wonder why it took so long from 19...
All that older scientist was doing that. A young scientist in the United States, Philo Farnsworth, just a kid, was imagining the electronic TV. which is really what took over, not the mechanical TV.
Right. But I wonder why it took so long from 1926 to 1945 to actually to produce the television. I mean, if they already had one in 1926, how come it took till 1945 to before the public could have
Who
one?
Who produced it in 1926?
I thought you said Farlow's did the...
I didn't... Farnsworth sort of gets off the ground in 1927.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking it. You picked up it by ESP. I didn't say any dates around Farnsworth, but I was thinking it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start talking. But around 27, I think he announces it or tries to get a patent. And what happened is that David Sarnoff of RCA competes with it, and there's a battle in the courts in the 30s, and Farnsworth loses.
Mm-hmm.
And so RCA gets a TV, and they create a TV around... England does one in 36, but I don't know if it's the electronic one, but there is television in the United States by 1939. It's presented.
Oh, okay.
And Peggy Hitchcock told me that, I mean, she was born in 33, so when she was... in 40, when she was 11 and 12, her father knew Sarnoff, and they had a television in their home. I don't know what was on it.
Mm.
I wasn't living here then. And but they, because they were a wealthy family, they got the first TV sets.
Mm.
So, yeah, why did it take from 27 to 45? Well, the other environments had to run their course, the older environments. And... it took a world war. You had to get the radio effect resolved.
Right. And
I mean, nobody knew about it. Who knew about it? A couple of scientists. You know.
Right. And then before they actually had broadcast stations for televisions, now we're like 1945.
Beg your pardon?
It isn't until like 1945 that they actually have broadcasting stations where they're broadcasting to the general public for the television.
Yeah, and that's very small because Americans really don't start getting televisions in their homes until the early 50s, it seems.
Mm-hmm. So 1900 to 1918 is... automobile and early radio, 1918 to 45, is just a further development of automobile radio and...
not automobiles, airplanes.
Airplanes.
Think airplane, 1900, 1918. Automobiles more in the LaRouche quadrant. And it is.
Oh, yeah.
Technically in there.
Oh, okay.
And then you have airplane in the 1900, 1918.
Oh, okay. So... By 1900 to 1918, you've got automobile, airplane, and radio coming in.
Yeah,
and then you just have movies until, and then from 1918 to 45, you just have a further development of that because you really
well,
don't
you get into the atom bomb and radar and then computers.
Right. Yeah, that's all in its early stages. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then 45 to 60, we had the satellite and the further development
and the laser beam.
And the laser beam. Yeah.
And then you have in the Dobbs quadrant, satellite, which includes all previous technologies, versus flesh. And the satellite is shrinking. So the anthropomorphic physical, or what people think is flesh, starts to become prominent again.
Mm-hmm.
That's the retrieving... a sensibility, a sense of retrieving first nature that everything was extended from, but now crystallized in the satellite.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the computer is named in the middle column in the satellite quadrant. In
mm-hmm.
the previous environment.
Right.
So the airplane is in the television quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really happening in 1840 and 1900. And the automobile is happening before that. It's sort of like an echo of the Dobbs formula chart, where each hidden ground beside it, the kids, Shemeshon and Issy, represent previous technologies. So what's interesting is that I've got in the television quadrant, I've got television. Mm-hmm. But in the satellite, I've got computer. So in the satellite quadrant, the previous environment is in the middle column.
Mm-hmm.
But in the TV quadrant, I've got television in the middle column. You can figure out why. It's not the previous environment.
Right. But it's tactility squared.
So you have the automobile in the automobile quadrant, radio quadrant, television in the television. But actually, automobile is not radio, so it's a previous phase. But they come together with television. Then it moves...
Well, automobile and radio sort of go together.
Yeah. And as figure ground. But see, automobile is like the content of the radio. It's the 19th century. And radio is the 20th century. But I'm saying, why is television in the television quadrant? Whereas... the computer is not in the computer quadrant, it's in the satellite quadrant.
Hmm.
There's an alteration going on there.
Mm-hmm.
The
television is tactility. The computer is...
All electric technologies are tactile.
Yeah.
Electricity is tactile. So remember that part of the complexity
right.
of this.
Television.
The computer is a surface retrieving of the visual aspect, at least the mainframe computers.
Right.
But it is electronic technology. It's tactile.
Right. But in terms of the television is maybe more pure tactility.
Than
the computer. Because the computer, you're adding these elements in that are obscuring the tactility of the computer of the television.
Well, when did the screen enter the computer? When they had mainframe computers, those big ones in the 40s and 50s, mm-hmm. was there any screen around?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So television was the content of the computer.
Yeah.
So it was tactile too, because it included the TV effect.
Yeah, but when you look into the TV screen, you're getting this pure synesthesia of this tactility.
Well, that's the cathode.
It's merging your.
No, just the cathode. It's doing that, but it's just the cathode tube. Wouldn't the screen of the computer room be made up of cathode tubes also? So it's
sure.
The effect.
Yeah, but when you look at it, especially those early ones, did not have any graphics or moving imagery at all. All you saw was text and code.
Yeah, see, that's the visuality of the computer phase.
Mm-hmm.
That's the printed book, complementary printed book aspect.
That's why, in a way, it seems less tactile, because to me, since the tactility is... operating between the senses and merging the senses, you really get that sense of synesthesia when you look at a television screen. But when you look at a cathode ray tube that has static text on it, or text that's scrolling, or you're typing into it or something, it seems like your experience of merging with a tactile medium is being diminished.
But the computer world that doing the programming is creating the digital technology, which will merge everything so that today's computers are synesthetic.
Right.
So you have to distinguish between the old analog computer, so to speak, and then the digital computer that comes later, or the digital media.
Right.
Which is the Android meme, because it subsumes the analog, replays it in O's and ones, and moves into a whole different kind of texture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what it does is it takes control over each pixel. It becomes digitized. It can be independently turned on and off. Whereas with the television, with the cathode ray, and that's more with the flat screen, I think, where you get the digit digitization of each individual pixel. But with the cathode ray and the television, you just have the electron beam is just scanning lines of pixels. It doesn't actually control what pixels are turned on, what pixels are turned off, and the ratio of red, green, and blue in each pixel, creating color tones. That's done, the computer is not only turning each pixel on and off individually, but it's also individually creating a ratio of red, green, and blue in each pixel to give that pixel its particular color.
And so your point is?
I don't know. I'm just contrasting the flat screen digital computer image with the more analog cathode ray television tube type image.
Yeah, it's like the digital starts to make the tactile its content and play with it.
Mm-hmm.
It reduces the synesthesia of the TV phase and starts to manipulate it. So it's like one phase past the tactile. You could say it's tactile squared. It's humans' technology starting to be tactile, or to modulate the different media content. So in the end, you have the convergence of media we have today, which even includes the aspect of separating out from it.
Mm-hmm.
With your voicemail, your recording mechanisms that allow you to save data and interact with it later. So the Android meme is absorbing all the sensory aspects, including the tactile. So what you were just describing sounds like the beginning of the technological simulation of tactility. Because the little dot, the digital O's and 1's, now modulate all that's on my chart.
Mm-hmm.
And shrink it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So did you answer the question as to why television is in the television quadrant as opposed to the other guys?
Not really. But you've said help me answer it. One of the hidden patterns of the chart is that when you move into the Thompson phase, that's the beginning of the Android meme. That the layer of complexity, the Android meme is not in the first two quadrants, but it is in the second.
The Android meme is developing in the first quadrant through the fifth quadrant, but it becomes the Android meme. Didn't we say the Android meme dominates the AP in the first two quadrants, and then in the last two quadrants or the last three quadrants, the AP begins to dominate the AM?
Yeah. The computer satellite phase, 67 and 72, is when the digital starts taking off. I mean, they start to build the Internet on September 5th, 69. Remember in the Worcester interview, that's the apex of polarity, as he spelled out in the Paranoia magazine interview?
Uh-huh.
It's in 69 is when the computers start talking to each other. They hook them up, starting with UCLA headquarters. And start talking to Stanford, but that's in 69, which is in the 67-72 quadrant, and that's after Rai's return to essence. There's a ratio here where the whole chart is the Android meme, but then when you start breaking it down, the first two quadrants are the analog, and the last two quadrants are the digital. And the very thing you were talking about, the O's and 1's,
mm-hmm.
controlling the red-green pixels and that,
mm-hmm.
that's what you're starting to get in the Android meme, and that's beginning in the computer level of the Thompson quadrant, date-wise. And so what happens is, as this digital convergence comes together, the old mainframe computer becomes the content of the satellite, holopathic satellite.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way of showing that there's a wrinkle happening after 1967.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to that degree, people felt that Thompson was was the new McLuhan was going beyond McLuhan, and later people thought Coker was going beyond McLuhan. McLuhan is the last human chemical body thinker.
Mm-hmm.
Then the android meme starts to take over. And talking about that makes McLuhan's language obsolete because of digital convergence. And this is, when you read Thompson, he knows about the digital effect, or he's starting to meditate on it. He's not dealing with the old media categories like McLuhan. He plays with it, but he's pointing to something that then Croker takes further.
Right. Now, I just caught you in a little trap. A couple of times back in May when we did Thompson, when we did the Croker Quadrant, I think it was, you said that...
You mean in 2008?
Yeah, you said that Karl Marx was the last human thinker.
Yep. And so that's when I said that, there was that was included, that qualification, because what I was saying is McLuhan, that was the words I had to use. I mean, I said McLuhan was the last human thinker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you got to say when you're trying to make a distinction between Thompson's quadrant and the McLuhan quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Thompson's a human. But the Croker's a human thinker. So this is where you get the ratios. It's the categories can be reversible or changeable when you're dealing with our time. That's why McLuhan said, give you two examples. He says in the first explorations that the terms I'm going to use, this is in 1953, are subject to change. And then another time he said... in the book Laws of Media, City's Classroom, he said, it's cliche versus archetype or vice versa. In other words, the categories collapse. So it's depending on what the situation is, you say something, then later what you say is different. So someone from a visual point of view say, you contradict yourself. And the McLuhan response is, no. And he did say, I never contradict myself, even though everybody said he was filled with contradictions, because you have to realize why he says something in each context.
Mm-hmm.
And in different contexts will require different ways of speaking. So here I'm saying that this whole chart's the android meme, but now I'm telling you that, no, the android meme's only the last two quadrants, or the quadrants 3 and 4. That's a different statement, contradictory statement. But under post-linguistic electric tactile conditions, you have to include contradictions, which aren't contradictions if you understand it's a figure ground situation.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you change the context of the conversation, then you change what you say within that context.
You change the terms you've been using. Yeah, no. The terms you've been using reverse roles.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So that's sort of a tetrad effect, I guess. Tetrad management.
Yeah, you're flipping. You're a communist one day, a capitalist the next day. Communist the third day, capitalist the fourth day, maybe capitalist the sixth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth day, then the ninth and tenth day you're a communist. Then the 11th, 12th, back to a capitalist.
Mm-hmm.
Then for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, and right up to 39, you're a communist.
Mm.
So, that's why, Adam McLuhan said, you set up a dialectic like he did between hot and cool or cliche and archetype, and they're expendable. Like people go around trying to determine what's a hot medium, what's a cool medium, they're still thinking about it. And McLuhan, a year after he started using the terms, said, we got to junk these terms, it doesn't work. So he came up with the terms cliche and archetype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends. It depends on the ratio of the sensory bias as to how you're going to
and the media bias.
Yeah.
So that's why the you must include the collapse and our cancellation of chaos. You include that in your system. So we have a system here, but it's expendable and adaptable.
Mm-hmm.
Fungible.
Right.
if you look at it on a piece of paper, it looks frozen.
Right.
But it's just a quirk.
Well, McKenna used to talk about this when he met the trans-dimensional machine elves. They would toss this beach ball thing between one another, and when he grabbed it, he realized that it was this trans-dimensional goo. Whatever you projected into it, it would become that thing.
Yeah. And that's like Finnegan's Wake. So that's including the eye as a making function. We retrieve that awareness since the flattening of it by Gutenberg technology.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you're back to your eye. You project into the test pattern. Back in the 60s, people get stoned and project images into the test pattern on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goo.
So I just wanted to clarify something we said earlier, which is that at best the human thinker chemical body can be a tetrad manager, but then the android meme can be the pentad manager.
Right, and that's probably what I'm a, quote, genius at. I'm responding to the pentad manager. I mean, I disbanded the Secret Council 10 and got rid of the tetrad managers because the android meme took over. And therefore, I'm sensitive to it, or I respond to it, or it responds to me. That's the only way you can be, call yourself a pentad manager. You
uh-huh.
have to have media's anachrony happening around you.
Oh, cool. And then the...
I want to show you. So here you have the anthropomorphic physical, and you have satellite versus flesh. But the whole quadrant is the mystery body, which would not just be limited to flesh. But the rearview mirror image is satellite versus flesh. That's what the fundamentalists think is going on. That's why you have save the kidney. Save some part of the chemical body. That's all the fundamentalists are trying to do. They're trying to save some fragment from the destroyed, ghettoized chemical body. Or flesh.
Well, they're trying to preserve their image of the God the Father as a superego.
Yeah. And that's a chemical body image.
And look at how they're getting wiped out. That guy who, I don't remember his name, but he was another one of these charismatic church leader guys who got busted for doing crack cocaine with a gay prostitute or something.
That recently?
Yeah. Well, it was last year, but now he's being brought up on new charges at one of his... A young man who was entering the priesthood, he apparently attempted to molest this kid. So it's just how, you know, these fundamentalist guys who are clinging to this superego structure of hierarchy and power,
visual space,
and sort of patriarchal vision of a power structure. They're getting torn apart, ripped apart.
Okay. But so is the TV body, so is the chip body, as happened last fall, and the astro body. That's why I said in my commentary on the Obama supernova inauguration that everybody was propping up everybody. But the TV body, which is showbiz, they don't like the fundamentalists. They didn't like Bush to the degree he would represent the fundamentalists. They emphasize those guys. And then the chip body emphasizes what happens to the TV body casualties. You know, like Britney Spears or whoever.
Right.
All right? And then there's the chip body casualties. Those are the financial houses right now.
Right.
The Citibank, Bank of America, Bernanke, Paulson, all those guys. And so
see, to the degree that
all the bodies have been wiped out right now. That's why the figure of the mystery body is showing up.
I can see that. To the degree that Bush avoided the media, it was a smart move. Because to the degree that that Obama is participating in the media is to the degree that he's being set up to become a Britney Spears.
Yeah. And so let's end on that. I got to go do some stuff.
Okie dokie. Good session. There's still a little more to do. I don't know if you want to, you know, how long it would take, or if you want to do another.
No, we'll do another one. We'll hopefully Will listen to it, And
yeah, I'll get this up tonight. I have his email. I'll make sure to email him when it's up.
Yeah, show him the URLs or something so he can click on them, or I'll call him, make sure, so he can listen to them, and then maybe he might have some questions.
Right. Sounds good.
But we did cover a lot of the thing and got into some new aspects.
Yeah.
So I want to show the tenuousness of what I'm saying, since it's an old medium, verbal, and we're looking at a visual frozen thing. This is all puny compared to what we're living in. And what we're living in is what I'm always responding to, having this strange anachrony come back to me. And that's what's really me. And how do you talk about that, you know?
Right.
So all I can do is talk about the history of how we got to this position.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so usually you go to bed by 12?
Well, hold on. Let's sign off, and then we'll finish up whatever we have to say personal.
So, oh, this is still taped?
Yeah.
Oh.
So we're signing off for the 9th of February, okay?